handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's got a donate button. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and send shekels by clicking on the donate button. Go to nationalbugle.com. Check out the Co-Certified app. What you do, and I want everybody to go to nationalbugle.com, and you scroll down just a little bit, you see, what is the KQ, the kosher question? You click on that icon, download the app, $2.99, lots of fun, lots of education, lots of red pilling. Today is a call-in show, but we have the first half of the show is going to be Jeremy from Kentucky calling in. He'll be with us in just a second, and then I'll open it up to the rest of the general public. In the meantime, I've got a new segment here, and this is called Swinging to the Headlines, Swinging to the Headlines. Mr. T, hit the music. All right, let's swing to some headlines. From the National Bugle, nationalbugle.com, what do we have? Well, second man who died in Democratic donor Ed Buck's house had a meth overdose. If you don't remember, Mark Dankoff and I covered this. Ed Buck is a Democratic donor, very, very gay, and a second black male prostitute died in his apartment. He had one die a couple of years ago, and he had another one die. So CNN, they're reporting on this, meth overdose. Okay, we've got Russian Air Force planes land in Venezuela carrying troops. So, Russia, they are there involved in Venezuela. Well, good for them, whatever. Now, we're going to see how the Bolton administration responds to this. For those of you who aren't in the know, there was a Jew d'etat, and the Jews have parachuted John Bolton in as commander-in-chief. We'll see what the Bolton response to this is. But, you know, you put John Bolton and Vladimir Putin in a cage, one of those octagon cages, I'd like to see that. Let's do one more headline. Lest we forget, 2011 Christchurch earthquake unmasked team of Israeli spies in New Zealand. No, Israeli spies, come on, they don't do that. All right, thanks, Mr. T. Let's see about that. So that is Swinging with the Headlines. You go to nationalbugle.com, and we swing with the headlines. Jeremy, are you there yet?
Yes, Dr. Slattery, thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you for joining the show. So we had some things we were going to talk about, which is the Jussie Smollett thing and the Trump thing and all of that good stuff. Where do you want to start?
First of all, that's just interesting headlines that you read there, especially the one with the homosexual engaged in drugs and prostitute. Imagine our shock, right? Oh, God. So the Smollett thing, I mean, isn't it interesting that this happened, 48 hours after the Mueller investigation was released, right? So they're wanting us to pivot back to, they're, you know, wanting to pivot back to race now and race relations. My little take on the Smollett thing is that it was botched. I mean, this obviously this guy went out on his own and tried to score some points because he wanted to raise an empire or whatever, and he botched it. And now it just left a big mess for everybody to clean up. If they, you know, put this guy in jail, then, you know, they're going to look bad. It's a African American homosexual half Jewish man that they're persecuting.
Yeah.
Half Jewish, half gay. Right. And then now that if they let him go, which is what they've done, now they're really damaging this whole hate crime thing. He's perpetrated a hate crime, a fake hate crime, and now it's making that look bad, the whole hate crime scene, and which is what de Blasio, de Blasio, right, who was that? The mayor of Chicago, Emmanuel, there we go.
Yeah, Rahm Emanuel, that's right.
He's totally just running, like, controlled opposition because he's going to throw that little meat out there for the conservatives to say that he's staying, you know, oh, this is terrible, justice wouldn't serve.
And he's openly an Israeli dual national. There's no, you know.
Right.
Some of these people, there might be a question about it. A lot of people say, oh, he's a dual national just because he's a pro-Israel Jew. But in the case of Rahm Emanuel, there's no doubt that he has Israeli citizenship and that he worked. He wasn't necessarily inducted into the IDF, but he worked for the IDF during the first Gulf War.
Yeah, and so he's just thrown a bone to conservatives, you know, to play the controlled opposition of, oh, I'm so, you know, outraged that this travesty of justice was, done. So, no, I'm not believing that for 1 minute. So they just have a big mess on their hands right there, and the media is once again given a black eye.
Okay, so regarding Jussie Smollett, okay, so it was a ridiculous hoax from the beginning. Who would have believed that? So, I mean, one thing you could say is, all right, so Jussie Smollett, he's just kind of not that bright, and he devised this hoax, and it shouldn't have fooled anybody. I don't really think it did fool anybody. I don't think it fooled the CNN people, but maybe they just felt obliged to spread it around. But it wasn't just CNN. It was all the networks were touting this. Even Fox was reporting it as if it was a real hate crime, and President Trump weighed in on it. But it was so phony from the very beginning. So was this just his idea? And, you know, it is so stupid that maybe it was just his idea, because you'd think if there's anybody else involved in planning it, they would have said, wait a minute, this is kind of ridiculous. But I just want to throw this out. It all worked out very conveniently for Kamala Harris. And I had a friend who contacted me and pointed out that Kamala Harris, in the midst of all of this, reintroduced an anti-lynching bill that she had introduced in the last session of Congress. It got nowhere. She introduced it into the Senate in February, when this hysteria was at its height, and she got unanimous consent for it in the Senate. I think it's in committee in the House, so it's not become law, but it is this so-called anti-lynching. Well, they have lynching in the title, and of course Smollett had a noose around his neck as part of the hoax. But when you got down to it, it really wasn't aimed at lynching, like stringing up people by ropes. It was aimed at hate crimes, which hate crimes can just be intimidation. It can be saying mean things on the internet, and even conspiracy to say mean things would be dealt with draconian punishment. So is it too much to think that given that Smollett and Kamala Harris had a pre-existing friendship, you know, you can see pictures of them from last summer at demonstrations together and whatnot, and she was referring to him as her close friend and all of this stuff. Is it too much to think that perhaps maybe somebody should look into whether she had any advanced knowledge of this, or is that just too much? I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think it's too much. It's not too much to contemplate that this has happened right as the FBI is being called to congressional floor to crack down on white nationalism.
I have one addendum to that question. Is it less plausible that which is less plausible, that Kamala Harris colluded with Jesse Smollett for this hate crime, or that Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump colluded to get himself elected president?
Oh, yeah, definitely the latter is less plausible because, I mean, we have the Mueller report. But, I mean, I see a broader brush being, you know, a stroke of the brush here of trying to paint Trump supporters as white nationalists. Mm. And had he pulled this off, wouldn't that be convenient as the FBI is being questioned by Congress on what they're doing to crack down on white nationalism? So, yeah, I totally would buy the Kamala Harris thing. I think it's even bigger than that, really, if you want to know the truth.
Well, you know, whether or not she was involved before the fact, she certainly was involved after the fact, and CNN and MSNBC and the rest of the mainstream media was very much involved after the fact. I mean, reporting this as if it was plausible.
And yeah, the same thing as same thing as the Mueller. So I mean, they're not apologizing for Mueller. They all knew that was a lie, just like they knew this was a lie, and they pushed it anyway, hoping that they could pull it off. I think there was a lot of people in the media that knew this was just totally stunk. And then we look at the result. I mean, what did they do? They sealed the records, right? You can't even, as a civilian, you can't even go and look up this public record. And then another thing is that it can never be challenged. It can never be challenged again because the records are sealed. The only hope we have is that, you know, the president said, I'm going to get the FBI. The FBI is looking into this Jesse Smollett thing. So that's the only hope that we might have, is that the FBI, you know, the accredited law enforcement agency that they are, would, you know, actually look into his mail fraud stuff. But, I mean, you know, this is the same FBI that's pulling the Pissgate, hoax. So, no, I don't think that this guy's just going to walk, and they're going to take a black eye. The media's going to take their black eye, and the hate crimes legislation is going to look bad for a little bit, and then people will forget about it because they'll put something new in front of our face.
Well, there are, you know, the I guess, what would you call it, the commander or the superintendent, the commandante of the Chicago Police Force. I can't remember the official title, commissioner maybe. He seems to be pretty livid, and what seems to have happened is Michelle Obama, who's from Chicago, she got involved, and there was some text communications between either Michelle herself or somebody very close to Michelle and this, what is her name, Kim Fox, Kimberly Fox, who is the elected African-American woman who is, technically recused herself, but her underling was the person who came up with this agreement to expunge the records and drop the charges and everything. And the recusal, there are people involved who are saying that this wasn't done properly. But the sealing of the records, how are they going to then investigate this? This connection with Michelle Obama. It's a big hoax, and it's as messed up as and obviously fake as a hoax as it is. But look at all the hoaxes that they've been getting away with, like the hoax of Charlottesville, where they're saying that, you know, this was a horrible, you know, white nationalist rally, deadly rally that, you know, killed a bunch of people. And the Black Lives Matter and Antifa were just peaceful counter-protesters, or, you know, largely peaceful counter-protesters. They're getting away, and the Mueller hoax, so they're getting away with all these hoaxes. Now, with the Mueller thing, on Tucker's show last night, he was showing how, oh, now they're all pivoting to talking about healthcare as if this is what they were talking about all along. But, you know, it's not really that they're all pivoting. There's still all these people who are saying, who are in denial about the Mueller report. But also, of course, you know, it's not as if Mueller was really an objective and disinterested party. I mean, he's part of the whole Jew d'etat. Well, he can't prove any kind of collusion because there was nothing there to prove. But most likely if the full report is released, and it's 90 pages long or 300 pages long, there's going to be something in there. Is it? Yeah. Hundreds of pages long. There's going to be something in there people can point to. And, so I don't know. Do you think that the Mueller probe and the report is going to remain in the headlines for a long time and continue to be used in order to enforce this, Jewish mafia domination over Donald Trump?
Well, first of all, here the media again looks like fools in front of the American people, and the media thinks that they're being clever, but they're really not. More and more people now. Thanks to President Trump, his planting the seeds of fake news and that blossoming and growing into a huge tree now, a lot of people see this, and it's just they're being more and more obvious. So there's the ill effect on the media. But the whole Mueller probe, what they're saying now that, we didn't find any Russian collusion, but there may have been some conspiracy, but it was a criminal. And now they're saying, the opposition, the left is saying, you can't summarize hundreds of pages of this in like four pages. So there's got to be more that you're hiding. And what my personal take on the Mueller probe is that they dug and dug and they didn't find Russian collusion per se, but they found Jewish collusion. And I think they're treading very lightly on this because this Mueller probe has probably got lots of stuff that's going to incriminate Jared Kushner, and all of his ill-gotten financial dealings with oligarchs in Russia. I mean, you can look this up.
March 27th. Aren't really Russian. They're mostly Jewish.
They're Jewish oligarchs in Russia, like Abramovich. Kushner met with Abramovich in March of 2017. That was one headline, and then everybody forgot about it. I haven't heard one thing about any Jewish oligarch in all of this collusion business. They're really treading lightly. I personally think that they found a bunch of stuff on Kushner. And it's incriminating for Trump, too, but mostly it's Kushner. And this stuff probably goes back all the way back to the marriage with Ivanka. And they're gonna send all that stuff upstate. And when Trump gets out, whether he gets out or he doesn't win, whatever, whenever he gets out, the state is going to prosecute him, which he cannot pardon himself from. He can only pardon himself from federal crimes. So that's what I think is happening here. And I don't think we're ever going to see the whole Mueller report.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know if we'll see it or not, and I don't know exactly what's in it. But the whole narrative of Vladimir Putin somehow putting Donald Trump into office was so fake and gay from the get go. I mean, the whole thing's ridiculous. And what do they have to point to? They have to point to a couple of dozen people doing Facebook trolls or taking out Facebook ads. A couple of dozen people, maybe in Russia, in St. Petersburg, and they might have spent $50,000 or $100,000 on Facebook ads, and somehow that swayed the election and the $1 billion that Hillary Clinton raised, mostly from big Jewish donors, and she went and did a fundraiser during the campaign in Israel. And how careful do you think they were to make sure? I mean, we know that Israel's full of dual nationals, just like America's full of dual Israel-American nationals, and dual nationals are allowed to give to the campaign. But how careful do you think they were that there weren't any, say, French-Israeli dual nationals who were donating to Hillary? Do you think they were very careful about that? Is there any looking into that?
Right. Now, the whole thing is just fake and gay, as you said. It's as fake and gay, maybe, as this mayor in Indiana, Mayor Pete. I'm going to be nice this time.
Isn't he really gay? I don't think he's fake and gay. I think he's really gay.
Right. He's fake, but he's really gay. That's how
he's fake, but really gay. All right. Thank you for bringing that up.
Mayor Peter, that's how fake and gay this whole Russiagate is.
Okay. So, let's see. What was the next thing? I had something in my brain and it's gone. I remember. So I was listening to talk radio last night as I was driving from place to place, and there was a guy who was wheeling out Stormy Daniels. maybe we'll get into that when we come back. So the resurrecting Stormy Daniels. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Show National Bugle Radio, and Jeremy, you're available till the bottom of the hour, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and so we were just talking about Stormy Daniels. We also, we have William from Montana who can join us too and talk about the whole Russia hoax thing. Do you have any questions for William, Jeremy?
Yeah, actually, I do. I wonder, William,
okay.
Let's
bring on William to have him join us. William, are you there?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So I know I'm going to have questions for you, but let's give Jeremy a chance while he's still with us to ask you any questions he might have.
Yeah, William, I'm very, very curious of this. We didn't get a chance to cover it on RBN last time when I had you as a guest, but I have this running theory that there is a fringe element of Jews, maybe this Shabbat Lubavitch branch, very powerful oligarchs that are Jewish oligarchs that are in Russia that have gotten behind Trump, and they have ties, with strong ties with Kushner, and Kushner has definitely proved to be an Achilles heel for Trump and his downfall so far. And I wonder if you've studied up on these Jewish oligarchs, and are they giving Putin the same hard time?
Well, you know, there's more, you know, lively political discussion in Russia than there certainly is in the United States. There's not a move in Russia to deplatform everybody, you know, or that, you know, speaks out against Putin in spite of what the American press will tell you, that, you know, Putin has the country under his thumb and political rivals are, you know, shot on bridges and, you know, killed. It's you know, there's, if you read the Russian press, which I do daily, there's a lot of criticism, and there's a lot of, you know, when you go to and listen to one of these Russian talk shows, they're nothing like the talk shows that we see, the vacuous, mindless talk shows that we see in the United States. I mean, they really seek out people that have differing opinions, and they go over minute details that would, you know, bore us to death. And so, you know, are there Jews in Russia? Let's get that out. Yes, there are. You know, do they have the same degree of stranglehold on Russia that they have on the United States? Not in the least. You know, the fact that, I mean, I could go in somewhere in my archives. I've got like 20, 30 articles that shows what Putin has done in the last, you know, 2 or 3 years of reining in these banksters, these rich, you know, mostly United States and European banks that are operating in Russia. And he's basically said, you will not be allowed to be a conduit for taking money out of Russia and sending it to London or the United States or Israel. That's just not going to happen anymore. And there's been at least, you know, like I say, a half a dozen of these moves that showed, no, Putin is not cutting these remaining Jewish oligarchs a lot of slack. And one by one, he's been tightening the noose around their neck, and many of them have skedaddled. They've said, you know, we can't do business like we used to do, you know, under Yeltsin and especially, you know, before that. And so they're hightailing it out of there. So I've seen a big influence where he has really cracked down on this, and it wasn't as big. I mean, we're not talking about what we have in the United States or in London, in Britain. And so I just don't believe that narrative, but I do know that a lot of Russian phobes use this to say, don't listen to Putin, don't listen to Lavrov. They're all part of the big thing, you know, they're all controlled by the Jews. And that's some way in order to try to stop what's actually happening, which I think, you know, when you consider Lavrov and Putin, I mean, they're two of the greatest statesmen alive in the world today. But I have seen this sort of, trying to darken their lights and say, oh, don't talk to them. They're all controlled. Everyone's controlled. And I've seen many examples where that control is almost, I would say, almost non-existent. I mean, are there people in Russia? And then this is what you have to make a distinction. I mean, are there Jewish oligarchs in Russia that does not have Russia's best interests at heart? Yes. But they don't have the same degree of freedom that they had 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. And that has been pretty much the result of, you know, Putin's activities and the fact that, you know, they are trying, they're totally changing the way that they do business in Russia.
And we just have about 30 seconds before the break. Can you hang on after the break, William?
Sure.
Okay, and Jeremy, thank you for calling in. Thank you very much for joining the show.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Noose around the neck, cooler with the anti-Semitic remark.
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio. Those are the smooth sounds of Philbert Applebag, and I'm with William from Montana. So, William, on the John Batchelor show on Tuesday night, night before last, Professor Stephen F. Cohen was on the show, and he referenced what seems to be the reaction of the Russian political establishment to the Mueller report and the end of the Mueller probe.
Yeah, that's what I called in to talk about.
Okay, and his impression was that the consensus seems to be, okay, well, now that this is over with, maybe we can finally have normal talks between the Russian and American leaders, just like every Russian and American leader have met. Every American president has met with his Russian counterpart since FDR. What's your impression?
Well, that, of course, is always there in the wings saying, yeah, you know, as the Russian, you know, people that I, the establishment in quotes that I follow is people like Lavrov and Dmitry Peskov and Putin and Shevardnadze, a whole bunch of people, and what they, you know, I saw a lot of people rushing to the Kremlin and Russia saying, wow, don't you feel vindicated that the Mueller, you know, investigation found nothing, you know, no evidence of collusion? And it was, you know, I hate to use this sort of meme, but it was a nothing burger. I mean, many of these people said that, you know, they weren't holding out. You know, I thought Dmitry Peskov, who's, you know, Putin's one of his spokesmen, he said, you know, the whole Mueller investigation was as hard as looking for a black cat in a dark room, especially when the cat was never there.
Mm.
And so there, I didn't find that they were saying, boy, this might be a breakthrough. As a matter of fact, I heard on three or four occasions, they said, we're not really, do you think that this Mueller investigation was ever motivated by the desire to investigate the facts?
No.
This was a geopolitical, you know, hit piece to basically invalidate Trump's, you know, activities, including,
Trump's,
you know, better relations with Russia.
And
so they said,
Trump's,
you know, we don't think that this is going to result in any real difference.
Yeah. So to invalidate Trump's election and his legitimacy, and in particular to block any kind of improvement in relations with Russia.
Well, that and also, you know, to install the worst possible people. I mean, John Bolton, you know, how did that ever happen? You know, and, you know, one of the things that I've been following is, you know, this whole, the mainstream media, you know, completely blew this coverage, you know, because they basically, you know, were trying to use innuendo and some little bit of piece here, little bit of piece here, to basically, you know, convict Trump from the very beginning. And this went on for like 22 months, and they didn't get it right. And
yeah.
And I thought it was very interesting that some of the people, you know, like Jeff Zucker from CNN, I mean, he just came out. And I thought his statement was so totally amazing, because I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, he came out and, you know, he was being grilled, like, how did you get this so bad? And he said, what? He said, we are not investigators. We are journalists. And our role is to report the facts as we know them. And that's exactly what we did. And it was amazing to hear him say that and think that settled it. I mean, it was just such a perfect, you know, I thought it was just a blatant confession that, you know, how does CNN come by facts? Well, they don't do it by investigation.
No.
And it was just so blatant of showing what was happening. And you know, when you say, well, aren't the Russians just elated that they've been left off the hook and this could possibly lead to better relations with the United States? They pointed out, a couple of commentators that I followed, he said, and what did Jeff Zucker say after that? You know, he said, he went on and he said, you know what? You know, there was a revelation in Mueller's report, because he documented that Trump, you know, had communications with a hostile nation, and that's unprecedented.
Oh yeah! Okay.
I mean,
first of all,
he just kept digging a deeper hole.
And second of all, why wouldn't you communicate with another country?
Of course, you know, and that's where they, you know, that's why when people were querying the Kremlin and political commentators in Russia, and they say, "Isn't this a great opening?" They said, "Do you think that this is going to make much difference?" You know, immediately the Democrats and the Never Trumpers and even these failed mainstream media outlets, they immediately said, "But we haven't seen the whole report, and there's information in there that will incriminate more and more and more and more people, and so this isn't over yet." And I think it's hilarious. I mean, if the Democrats don't come up with something better, you know, of some program instead of just going after Trump's impeachment, I think it's a great thing for us because I think that will make a better opportunity for Trump to get in there a second time because it's so stupid that they're still
if he is getting in there a second time, but only as a vehicle for John Bolton and other crazy people. It's that in and of itself wouldn't be a victory.
Well, I think John Bolton is just displaying just how John Bolton and Pompeo, they're just displaying this concept of American exceptionalism and the hubris of just saying Russia, you can't fly into Venezuela. All options are on the table.
So I want to ask you about that in just one second. I want to make one comment first. So with Jeff Zucker and his comments and his assertion that, well, no, we don't investigate. I mean, and what would journalists investigate for? I mean, what investigative journalists, who ever heard of that? I mean, that's absurd on its face. But of course, they had CNN and the rest of the media had a massive role in imposing this investigation on the country, by making it so that Donald Trump nor anyone else could question its legitimacy, validity, its necessity, and make it so that anybody who would try to halt the negotiation or question its validity would face massive political retribution. Okay, so with Venezuela, so the Russians are sending a certain amount of military there. So maybe you can tell us what the Russians are actually doing and how this is going to play out and how the Bolton-Pompeo administration is going to respond.
Well, this just shows just how brain dead Bolton is. It doesn't mean that he isn't dangerous, but it's basically, he's still stuck in some concept of the Monroe Doctrine, as it applies, and he's trying to apply that now to the Western Hemisphere. And the hubris and the ridiculous of this is
at a time when we're massively intervening in Ukraine and we're going to talk about Monroeville.
Of course, with 800 military bases around the country or around the world, we feel that we have a right to go anywhere and dictate who does what, which leaders are elected, which leaders are deposed. Who does business with which country? This all started. Bolton. I'm amazed at how much he confesses, because he basically said in a couple tweets, he basically just said, "Look, the only way that this is going to work out to our liking is for American oil companies to go in there and take over these vast reserves." Of oil, Venezuela has as much as, some people think as much as Saudi Arabia, or how much Saudi Arabia had. And so after you make the confession that this is all about oil, this isn't about bringing democracy to the Venezuelan people, one of the things that Venezuela and Russia had, business relationships for quite some time, and, Russia has $2 or $3 or $4 billion worth of investment, and Venezuela, has called for help from Russia to help them sell their oil, help them get their gold back, help them, sell their oil on the international market once these sanctions came down on them. And so Russia has a economic stake in Venezuela, and again, just like in Syria, has been invited to help out during this crisis. Venezuela has had these, blackouts, and there's every indication, that this is like a covert attack, trying to bring down the legitimate government and put in this guy who is basically a banker, who is, you know, pro-Western, you know, pro-United States. And this is another coup, just very similar to what happened in the Ukraine when Poroshenko was put in there, and you see the mess that resulted in that. And so, you know, Russia flew in with a couple planes and 100 advisors, military advisors, and this was portrayed by the U.S. press and by Bolton and by Pompeo as an aggression, you know, a vicious aggression, showing that Russia really is about world conquest. And when you look at all the things that the United States has done, the missiles and the tanks that they have put on the borders with Russia, even though that was never supposed to happen.
Yeah, incorporating former Soviet republics into NATO.
Yes, and that was supposed to be part of a deal that Reagan and Gorbachev, you know, cut, that said, let these people, let these countries, these recently freed up former Soviet countries, have their independence and put together back their culture, and it'll be sort of a buffer zone that will ensure the peace between the West and Russia. This was back in the times when it still was the Soviet Union. And as soon as that whole thing collapsed, that was the first thing the United States did, was to go into these countries and basically try to make them a part of NATO so that they could put missiles right on the border with Russia. And that is true aggression. And one of the things that, you know, the Kremlin said to various spokesmen was, you know, when Bolton issued this, you know, or Bolton and Trump issued this ultimatum for Russia to get out of Venezuela, you know, this invasion force that probably, you know, numbers about 100, 125, you know, when they were told that they had to get out, the Kremlin, through various spokesmen, said, why don't you go first? Why don't you get out of Syria, as Trump has said he was going to do, and now is starting to renege on some of that, I think under the influence of Bolton and Pompeo.
Well, it seems that Trump gets overruled. He announced...
Without a doubt.
He announced in December he was going to withdraw from Syria. Then he announced he was going to withdraw from Afghanistan. Those both got rolled back. The Treasury Department imposed new sanctions on North Korea. He came out the next day and said, no, you're not. And then within a few days, as well, actually, yes, we are. So he...
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that was
kind
where
of a ceremonial
Bolton
president with... Maybe he's the president of Twitter, but he doesn't seem to run his government.
Well, I think that I think that is obvious, and I think that, you know, whoever thought that draining the swamp that people were going to say, "Oh, we're exposed. We got to, you know, we got to take our chips and our marbles and go home." It was never going to be like that. And I don't think anything that has happened has ever surprised me. I never thought that this would be a smooth process,
okay.
And I never thought that Trump would actually be the person to deliver it.
Well, here's the last question, and then after the break, I have another caller I need to get to. But
sure.
President Putin, 20 years ago, he was selected as prime minister under Yeltsin, and he wound up becoming president. But he came into the 1990s, Russia was as swampy as Washington ever was. What was it about Putin where he was able to do what Donald Trump has not been able to do? What is it about Putin?
It's not just one person. As much admiration that I have for Putin, the Russian people were ripe for this. The Russian people, you know, said they had suffered under the Bolsheviks and under communism, and they wanted to put their country back together. And it's interesting that Putin definitely was a leader, and he had a learning process.
They suffered under post-communism, right? Even more.
Definitely. But, you know, Putin has actually changed over time, and what he's able to do, I think he's a better chess player than Trump will ever be. And he basically said, people say, well, Putin had a lot of support of these Russian oligarchs. Well, actually, you know, Putin could not just eliminate these people. They had a stranglehold on Russia. But one by one, you know, he dealt with them. And he had the people behind him, because if you look at the level of prosperity in Russia in 1990 and what it was like in 2004, it was a world of difference. And as Putin gained more and more support of being able to deliver the goods in terms of a better life for the man in the street, he took advantage of that power.
And it would have been worse.
And he started doing what he had to do.
Yeah, Trump
doesn't have that.
It would have been worse in 1995 than in 1990. I mean, I was there in 1990.
Yes.
It wasn't falling apart yet. But by 1995, life expectancies and plunged and all of that. Well, thank you so much for calling in, William. We'll have to get together and do a show just focused strictly on this. So thanks for calling in. And I'll be right back after the break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery and William from West Virginia. William, welcome to the show.
This is Wayne.
Okay. Sorry, Wayne.
Ain't no problem.
All right.
We haven't got much time left on the show, do we?
No, but it's all yours.
Okay. I don't have time to really go into it, but I will pass this one. I'll throw a little pepper in the soup here. I want to bring up student loans. And what had happened back in the probably 80s, the several of the kids had declared bankruptcy so they wouldn't have to pay their student loans off. And that sort of set a fear into the bankers. Now, the student loans were being sold to the banks in New Jersey, where several of the banks in New Jersey. And that put a fear into the bankers. Oh, my God, if we these students declare bankruptcy, this, and if this spreads, we're in trouble. So they went to their good old friend, none other than Biden, Mr. Biden. And Mr. Biden put in a bill and passed the had the bill passed that you can no longer declare bankruptcy on your student loans. And he put in a couple more bills later on for his buddies in New Jersey. So what had happened was the bankers said, well, if they're in dire need, they can come crying to us bankers. We'll help them out. So they helped them out. They said, well, what we'll do is just let you pay the interest on your loans, so your payment won't be X amount of dollars, say $400 a month. We'll reduce it down for you for $97 a month or whatever the interest was. And, of course, you know, as time went on, you were 40 years old, 50 years old, and you still owed the same amount. And I'll go into it a little more the next time I talk to you, Professor Slattery. So
okay.
I want this thing to sort of maybe be passed out so everybody knows, or at least the young people know, that it was their good old buddy Biden that socked it to them. Okay?
Biden,
thank you.
Of course, thank you very much. Biden represents Delaware in the United States Senate, and Delaware during those years became a very big banking center. A lot of banks moved their headquarters to Delaware because Delaware was giving them preferential tax treatment, but then, of course, the banks wound up giving the student debtors not quite as preferential treatment, I'd say. Well, thank you, Wayne. Okay.
Okay, so, pass that on if you can, let these people know.
Absolutely. No, so when was it? It was about 5 years ago or so that that students became unable to declare bankruptcy on their student loans the way anybody else can declare bankruptcy if they're in debt, but not if you're a student, right?
Right. Back, this went back to the 80s.
Yeah, it goes back to the 80s and Joe Biden. Of course, Joe Biden's going on a big apology tour. He's going around apologizing for being white. Did you see him? Oh, and talking about our judicial system, which, you know, it's it's because of white people. Yeah,
he's a real.
Okay, I don't think he's going anywhere, and he never does go anywhere. You know, this is his third presidential run, and his first two went nowhere. Okay, well, thank you very much, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendo.